Okay, so I'm with Joy, and we, all right, so let's give everybody some background. First of all, you had made a post, well, you had talked to Betsy about binging and that you had not binged in basically 6 weeks. You joined the tribe, you'd been listening to the podcast a little bit before that, correct?
Correct.
And then Betsy was like, let's plan a binge. If you're so afraid of it coming, let's plan that. When I'm going to come back to this, because the thought it's coming, you think is a bad one, and right. I do not.
Okay.
And that is why you're afraid, and yeah. I just think it's a thought. Okay. So we'll come back to that.
Okay.
So you planned a binge and did my process, and which it goes one of two ways. I just want to explain this to everyone. I'm going to let her tell kind of her experience. But one way is you see all the food and your conscious brain takes over and is like, goals, this doesn't even look like a good idea. You know, why are we doing this? Because our unconscious brain is the one who's like, yes, let's just eat and go to town and do all these other things, which is what a binge typically is. A binge is where the unconscious brain says, you know, we need to eat. This sounds good. You've been doing so well. A little won't hurt you. Like, it has all of its little things. And then, but some people will plan the binge. And when we say plan a binge, she's going to tell what she did. You have all the food and your brain immediately goes to the normal stuff. Like, it's like, okay, well, this looks normal. It doesn't think, like, the conscious brain doesn't kick in yet.
Yeah.
So, tell them what happened. So you laid out all your food. Like, you planned it, not we. I wasn't sitting there like a monkey in your, you know, side pocket.
Betsy told me to plan one. So I actually made a special trip to the store to pick out the things because I thought maybe that would be where my brain went, no, this is a bad idea, but I didn't. I bought chips and ice cream and chocolate. I came home and I laid it all out and I thought my brain would say, this is a bad idea, but it really, none of that was kicking in. I was just like so excited. So I started eating and thought I would stop when I got to my plus two because I've gotten honed in on what that feels like. And I hit that plus two and blew right past it. And I didn't stop the binge until I was physically pretty miserable. And then I stopped.
Let me
ask
you this. But I didn't
eat all of the food either, so.
Well, when you planned the binge, what was the outcome you were hoping for? Did you have an expectation, or did you just be like, I don't know what's going to happen, just doing it? What was kind of like your thought before you did it?
Honestly, I was just like, I need to make the mistakes to learn.
Okay.
So I'm just going to see what happens. Like, I didn't have a thought if I'm going to stop at this point or
The only reason why I ask is because, like, several times you kept saying, well, I thought this would happen.
Yeah.
I thought this would happen.
Because I had listened to enough, like, things that where you said, sometimes when you put all the food out in front of you, your brain will say, that's not a good idea. So I kind of, like, looked at it all like, all right, brain, come on. And it just, that wasn't my think. Like, my brain didn't go there yet.
Okay. And this is, so I want to point this out to everyone. So what I was talking about earlier is when you're binging, and if you're just an overeater, this is the same thing. Your unconscious brain is the one that's doing the talking that makes it sound like we need to do this. For some people, it feels very urgent. It feels very like we have to do this. We can't talk, like whatever's going on. It's like we just fuck it. We've had a bad day, or it's been a long one. I deserve a treat. Whatever your normal, like, bullshit stuff you say is, for some people, it's a very friendly voice. It is like just comfort in the night is saying, you know, come with me. I've got all the rest and relaxation right over here. And other people, it's a bully. It's like, you're such a fuck up. We should just eat, you know, like it'll go through whatever. And for, and some people, it starts off nice and friendly. And if you're like, no, no, we're enlightened. Like, I'm paying P&P money now. Then it's like, come on, bitch, you're a screw up. Let's eat. You know, it will flip on a dime. So that is all the unconscious part. That is what we have called the practice behavior in the brain. And it has said, at some point, we've learned that this equals relief and food. It doesn't mean any of it's true. It doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean anything. It would be just like if you drove to work one day and there was no traffic. Like, let's say you took a wrong turn by accident and ended up getting to work early. Your brain would immediately say, new habit. That's the way we should go every single day. It's like, that was quick. It was easy. It feels good. it's not good or bad. It just means the brain has just decided that's the path to get to where it wants to go. So what you were hoping, though, was that your conscious brain would take over. And right. for some people, the conscious brain will kick in because they're so tied to their goals and they know exactly why they want to do this so bad. They're not tied to the problem of binging. They're tied on where they're going, which okay. is, I think, where you are. Because yeah. you're, all of this was set up on the basis of it's coming.
Yeah. The fear. You know,
and you're like, winter's coming.
Yes.
Oh, Game of Thrones. We always need a little Game of Thrones references.
Yes,
but you had this idea, it's coming, it's coming. So when it came, your brain thought, this is normal. It had no reason to go to the conscious part, which is fine. Because you don't have to do that for the first one in order for it to work. Sure. Because you did learn other stuff.
Right.
You know, you went through it. You realized, oh, this is what my brain does. This is like, unless I turn on the parts, it says, does this match up to everything? Like before, like what I would encourage you to do is do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And this time before you start, well, we'll talk about the second time this has happened. But okay. for anybody going forward, if that was your experience, like it's Joy. Yes. Like Joy had is the second time you do it, then you go in with thoughts of what the conscious brain wants. Like, okay, I'm looking at all the food. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask myself, honestly, what do I think about seeing all this food and how it relates to no longer wanting to be a binge eater and wanting to lose my weight, whatever your goal is. You know, for some people who are binge eating, their goal is not to lose weight. Their goal literally is, I got to stop the binge eating first and I need to gain authority over that. And once that happens, then I can focus more on other stuff. But for now, this is the, you know, the elephant in the room right now. Just got to get this one, you know, authority over it. So it's going in with the next level steps of, okay, so now I'm going to plan it and I'm going to look at it and I'm going to be very prepared to give myself an honest assessment of, okay, it looks really tasty. These are all the things that I'm thinking with my unconscious brain. My conscious brain, who knows that I want to no longer binge and stuff, what is your honest thoughts about all this? It allows both sides of the brain to have their say.
Okay.
And here's the secret. The unconscious brain can never do anything without the conscious brain's blessing. So like no matter how bad you want to binge and how out of control you feel or whatever, at some point the conscious brain has to say, okay, no more talking. We're done and we're going to let you have your way. It's always that conscious choice. And I think that's so important to remember with binging because it's so easy to fall into the story of it just happens. It's out of control. I don't feel like I am in control. It right. always starts with a moment of control. And it's how do we get to the point to where you can embrace that moment, slow it down enough to give yourself some time and pause there?
Yes, that makes sense to me actually now because I've gone through another one. But in
how
that
about moment, the second one?
Yeah. You want me to tell you about the second
one? Okay. Tell me about the second one.
So the second one I planned again, but I will say after the first one, my brain did not want a binge like it did the first time. And it was not afraid of a binge the way it was the first time. So even just planning the first one, I feel like did a lot of work. But I planned the second one and I set it all out. And I made myself write on this piece of paper before I even started, I can stop at any time. It is my choice. And once I stop, it is done. And then I took the first bite. Actually, after writing that, I didn't want to eat any of it. But I kind of made myself like, I was kind of like, do this, bitch. Like, because you need to know that starting it doesn't mean it will never stop. So I ate one bite. I rewrote these three lines and I put it away. Like the food, it's going to go in the trash. It's right behind me.
Tell them what you got.
Oh, it was Swiss cake rolls.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? I love all things Little Debbie, like ding dongs. I'm always talking about the Twinkies.
I even like opened up several so that it wasn't. Yeah. So
that
one of
my uncle's favorite of all the Little Debbies, by the way, he loved the Swiss rolls.
So shout out to my top tribe, my Marco Polo. Somebody mentioned Swiss cake rolls in there, and it just like, that's what I'm going to do. Like, it was just a thing. So it was a very different outcome, a very different feeling, a very different experience.
You know what's curious that I find in this too is after the first one, what do you think is the difference? If you had to guess, I think I know the difference, but I want to see if you know. The difference between when you do a binge, what I consider like behind your back. So I've not planned it. It's just, for some reason I've had an urge and now I've decided I'm doing this and I just go for it. And then after that, why do you think you feel compelled to need more binges? And this time you're like, well, I don't even want another one this time. Do you know the difference?
I'm sorry. Ask me one more time.
Well, it will be a thought. Let me give you a hint. There's going to be a thought switch. Okay. Because both times you've binged.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a thought change though about the binge itself. So if you think about the model, the binge is in the C line now.
Okay.
And yeah. After this one, you did not want to do another one. Like you didn't feel the urgency to keep going, to like say, I got to have more binges. This is just the start.
I have my thought download. It was just a neutral feeling or in control, I think is what I said. And my, you know, it was just like, this is part of the process.
Well, all right. So that's the thought. And that's what I want everyone to see. When you have any binge, whether you planned it or you didn't, you always could have the thought, this is just part of the process. What you guys do though, is think this isn't part of the process.
Yeah.
This is not part of like ending binges. This is not part of recovering from eating, you know, like disorders and stuff. This is not part of weight loss. And I keep trying to tell all of you, it is so part of the process. And the reason why we know it's part of the process, number one, a lot of women have gone through it before you, and every one of them had binges and overeats to lose their weight and to get over their binging. And number two, it's already happened.
Yeah.
So it has to be part of the process. If you're going to be the kind of person who ends up having authority over it, that binge is now part of the past. It is part of the process. So you might as well just embrace it rather than fight it and, shit on the back end.
On my unintentional side of these three thought downloads about binging, one is it's broken, feels gross, it sucks, it's wrong. And all three of them, the other side says it is part of the process.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. And that's like it. Notice how when you take the emotional energy down, like, yeah. You have, like, it's not that you're fixed, but you now are able to start working on possible new fixes for yourself, like to start coming up with new ideas, to start coming up with like patterns and links and what's going on. That is never going to be available to you if you are focused on how you are wrong.
Right.
How you are broken and stuff. If that's why do we like, look, everybody think about something. Everybody is right. Everybody's here. But you had, let's say you're emptying your dishwasher and you break a glass. Do you go out and buy glue and fix it?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Your thought is it's broken and useless and no good. And so you throw it away. That is what you guys do with your work. It's like, what if we were like, what if it was something really expensive? Like, what if it was a button that came off a shirt? You might fix it. Like, aren't you as valuable? Like, think of something like your car. If it got, like, it was new and it got into an accident. And you're like, I cannot be driving a brand new car around with that big ass scuff on it. We're going to go take that. We're going to get it fixed. It's like, because you value it.
Right.
It's worth working on. It's not worth like, well, throw that shit away. But we act like we're not valuable. When we think things are broken, we get rid of them. We don't want to see them anymore. And that's what you guys will do when you think you're broken because of a binge. You get rid of yourself. You throw away your work. You throw away all the information that's sitting right in front of you that could potentially help you gain authority later.
Well, and that honestly, to prepare for this call, I pulled out all of my thought downloads and recovery worksheets, and I write binge on the top if that's like I try and like, and just reading through them was really fascinating for me and such a good like pause and look back and see progress and That and the other thing that really helped me, Corinne, was one thing that you said about stopping and writing the sentences between the bites. Like, I think my conscious brain has the thought of like this, you could stop at any time, but it doesn't feel like enough of a pattern interrupt.
Yeah.
For my unconscious to stop. But sitting and writing, that was enough to like bolster up my conscious brain and go, you know, like, this is ridiculous. Are you really going to sit here and write this 17 times so you can have 17 bites of something that's not even?
Well, and that's so important, because one of the things that when you have, like, when we break down binging into like so many components, so like right now we're focused on making sure that you are making it such a conscious experience. The mm-hmm. other part that is super helpful when you're trying to just end habits, because I always like to think of binging and overeating, these are just habits we need to break. Like, I don't like to think of them as anything more than that, because once you do, you've got judgment that you're working on plus the habit itself. And it's like, yeah. What if it is just a habit? If we just get to that point, it's so much easier to, you know, form a new one. But part of habit change is making the one you have more painful than the one you want. If the one habit that you want is going to be like, oh my God, it means I'm going to have to sit with urges and be so uncomfortable and be like left with all my shit. Like, you paint that out to be terrible.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to want to not eat Swiss rolls.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, shit. I do,
for sure.
But if you're going to have to write three sentences in between every bite of Swiss rolls and right. consciously and make the eating of the Swiss rolls not just fun.
Yeah.
And just numb, it changes a lot of things. And it's like, at some point, we all have to be willing to pay some kind of uncomfortable price. It doesn't always have to mean that you have to just immediately start out with like no more binges. And I'm just going to have to like hold on for dear life for, you know, until I'm done with it. It could mean this is the part of discomfort I'm more than willing to pay right now. But we all have to come up with an agreement with ourselves of where, like, what price are we willing to pay right now? Eventually you get to where it's like, you know what? I'm not even going to plan these things anymore.
Yeah.
When the urge comes up, you know, I'm just going to like not have it and be willing to pay that price of discomfort of sitting there and just being like, I'm going to watch what my brain says. I'm going to let my unconscious brain just go to town, and I'm going to say the things right back to it as long as it takes and not judge myself for that part.
And I can see that now on the other side of these two experiences. But when I called Betsy and was so scared, I don't think even those words would have resonated. Does that make sense? Like,
yes. And it's because you didn't have any. Sometimes we can just switch a thought. We can just say like, okay, you're scared because you think this is coming. And if we say, well, what if it never does? Your brain just can't go there. It's like, I just can't even make the connection because I've always done it. Yeah. Now, it's a very, like, here's the thing. It's like, there's no harm, no foul in thinking that, especially if you agree that if one did happen, I wasn't going to make a big fucking deal out of it.
Right.
You'd believe all day long, no more is happening. And then when one would happen, you'd be like, well, fuck, I just need to fix this. Like, what could I do different next time? Because you believe you're the kind of person who doesn't do it. But sometimes it takes creating evidence of like, okay, everything that I'm afraid of, we're going to plan for it.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm going to binge. Let's just see what a binge is truly like. Let's right. write about it. Let's plan a few of them and just go through them in different types of ways so we can really start unraveling. Like, is this as scary as I make it out to be?
Right. And it's yeah. not.
Right.
I mean, the other thing is going into that call with Betsy, I would have said, I am a binge eater. And today I would say I'm a person who used to binge eat, and not that I will never binge again, but it's just not, I know that like I'll have an urge. I probably will binge eat again. I'm 43. I doubt I'll go another 50 years without a binge eat, but it's not, it doesn't feel as much as a shameful part of who I am. Like I
it's
feel
not
like
who you are. It's just every now and then you're like the rest of the humans in the world. You make a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, I don't go walk around going, I am a cusser.
Right.
You know, I mean, right. I say a lot of cuss words, but I don't have to identify as one.
Yeah.
It's, so that was, and it's like Logan's autism.
Right.
Like, we don't sit around going, oh, we autism. I mean, right. We don't introduce that, you know, but right. On purpose, when we have something like some label that we've attached to, we attach our identity to it. Like he doesn't think of himself as, he knows he has it, but he never sits around and says, by the way, I got that autism. Just want to let everybody know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm afraid that autism is going to like, you know, kick up today.
Yes.
He just likes to think of himself as a normal kid.
Right.
Operate as a normal kid. Just like we like to think of ourselves as normal eaters. Let's just operate as normal eaters. And every now and then, like he flaps his hands and every now and then you might overeat.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, I think we just have to get to a point with all of this. Like if we quit making it so fucking heavy, it's a lot easier to work on it.
Yes. I mean, honestly, I feel a little bit silly reading through some of these first things, but it also just feels like a lot of growth and I'm proud of that. But I do feel like the toddler who was like, there's a monster under my bed, you know, and I'm so afraid. And the parent's like, there's no monster under your bed. Go back to bed. But I kind of had to look under the bed and see for myself. And
yeah, I think that's so important. Never feel silly for all your thoughts, man. If y'all read some of my thought downloads, you'd be like, girl, you coach us. our brains are designed to be completely irrational. That's the funny thing about it. It's like, we are the elevated species on the earth, and yet this is the shit we think about. Right. There's like some animal walking around the woods going, I wish I had your brain.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you doing this and
thank you.
Going through the process and stuff. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Corinne.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay.